The stone wall was totally different, because you could slow dance together, holding on to another person without fear that someone was going to bash your head in is totally centering. So going to the stone wall grounded me, and then the Stonewall riots just brought the feeling out into the real world. Tommy Lanigan Schmidt. While the fight over gay marriage has been bitterly contested and debated for much of the 21st century, it is still somewhat difficult to believe that just 50 years ago, homosexual activity was illegal in nearly every state in America. Homosexuals faced discrimination that surpassed that of even African Americans or suspected communists, and their lifestyles were so taboo that they were typically considered to be a security risk because it would be so easy for someone who wished harm to the country to blackmail them. In 1950, a Senate subcommittee on investigations reported, "In further consideration of the general suitability of perverts as government employees, it is generally believed that those who engage in overt acts of perversion lack the emotional stability of normal persons. In addition, there is an abundance of evidence to sustain the conclusion that indulgence in acts of sex perversion weakens the moral fiber of an individual to a degree that he is not suitable for a position of responsibility. Most of the authorities agree, and our investigation has shown that the presence of sex perverts in a government agency tends to have a corrosive influence upon their fellow employees. These perverts will frequently attempt to entice normal individuals to engage in perverted practices. This is particularly true in the case of young and impressionable people who might come under the influence of a pervert. Government officials have the responsibility of keeping this type of corrosive influence out of the agencies under their control. It is particularly important that the thousands of young men and women who are brought into federal jobs not be subjected to that type of influence while in the service of the government. One homosexual can pollute a government office. Indeed, in the decades that followed, the FBI kept lists of known homosexuals, and law enforcement agencies regularly raided known gay bars and other similar establishments. Due to the suspicions and even open hostility with which they were treated by the general public, gays and lesbians tended to settle together in small enclaves, seeking the same support and understanding of their plight that early immigrants did under similar circumstances. Following World War I, Greenwich Village in New York became a popular area for those looking for freedom to live out their sexual orientation unencumbered by stares and reproach. In addition to being popular among African Americans, Harlem also attracted a large number of gay men and women. Ironically, these men and women enjoyed even more freedom during Prohibition, as police units were too busy breaking up speakeasies to bother them. Activist Doric Wilson recalled, "When I was very young, one of the terms for gay people was twilight people, meaning that we never came out until twilight, till it got dark. Gay bars were always on side streets, out of the way in neighborhoods that nobody would go into. The windows were always cloaked." Soon, gay bars, places where people could drink, dance, and otherwise mingle with others of the same sex, sprang up in all major cities in the United States. Lucian Truscott IV, a reporter for Village Voice, a publication catering to the LGBT community at the time, noted, "There were gay bars all over town, not just in Greenwich Village. There were gay bars in Midtown. There were gay bars uptown. There were certain kinds of gay bars on the Upper East Side. You know, really, really buttoned-up straight gay bars. There was at least one gay bar that was run just as a hustler bar for straight gay married men." Of course, this posed substantial problems for those who were willing to cater to gay people, because at the time, the New York State Liquor Authority, NYSLA, mandated that any bar catering to even one openly homosexual customer could be closed down for being disorderly. As a result, organized crime stepped in to run the bars. Truscott explained, "The mob raised its hand and said, 'Oh, we'll volunteer, you know. We'll set up some gay bars and serve overpriced, watered-down drinks to you guys.' The mafia owned the jukeboxes, they owned the cigarette machines, and most of the liquor was off of truck hijacking. It was 100% profit. I mean, they were stealing the liquor, then watering it down. And they charged twice as much as they charged one door away at the 55. After decades of staying firmly out of public view, a number of groups formed in the years following World War II to try to legitimize